Hello, everybody, and welcome to You Must Be Joking podcast with myself, Willie Wooy.
And myself, Eric Lawler.
And this week's guest is...
The wonderful...
Neil Delamere.
Yes, Neil Delamere, it's great to have you in after all these years...
Thank you very much.
...of mentoring us.
No. I mentored you.
Yes, to an extent in that, okay. Like, when we started our comedy career, the very, as you know, Des Bishop's Joy in the Hood...
Yes.
...you were this up-and-coming comedian who was starting to fucking... Kill all over the country, and Des says, I'm going to bring some guy in, he's going to talk some sense into you guys, and he came into our workshop.
Wow.
And you always remember you were like, what was he wearing?
It was like Donnie Brasco with that brown leather
jacket. Brown leather, yeah. So Carlito's
I remember that. An ex-girlfriend brought me that jacket.
No way.
Yeah, and now she's buried in it. No, I remember that Donnie Brasco jacket.
Yeah.
I couldn't really carry it off. No. But the thing is, ye didn't know that at the time.
No, I still
remember two conversations with the two of you. One, Des, I was flying to England for a gig.
That's right.
And I couldn't get there in time, and he went, Willie'll bring you. And I went, oh, Willie? Yeah. And Willie drove the car. Like, Jesus Christ. I've never seen anybody drive a car like that before. Ayrton Senna would have been pale with how he drove that car.
Go. That's Willie.
And then afterwards, Des Bishop went, oh, yeah, Willie used to joyride around Ballymun. I think, yeah, I got that. My arse is still on the Ballymun Road somewhere.
Neil got out of the car.
Short cut through the fields.
yeah. And then I remember having a chat with you some point after that, because you were absolutely flying. Mm. And when somebody starts to fly, some other people get annoyed.
Yes.
And I said to you, yeah, but everybody's going to, like, if you're offered a gig, you know, everybody, it's up to you to say yes to that gig.
Of course.
So don't mind anybody else.
Yeah.
And off you go.
Yes.
And both of you have done pretty well.
We're doing all right.
I'm a brilliant mentor.
Yes.
No, yeah. You know.
But you've always been helpful with advice over the years. That's why we always, when we talk about you, Neil, we do see in that kind of, like, that mentor kind of role.
Oh,
you've
okay.
always been good with the advice and,
oh.
and whatever. No, you've never steered us
no,
wrong,
you
in
haven't,
fairness.
You haven't, in you know fairness. What I mean? You've always...
I think a rising tide lifts all boats.
100%.
To be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think... you both do it differently than I do it, and that's the way. I mean, I like what I love going to Edinburgh, and I love going to see people who like there's Jimmy Carr with one liners, and Milton Jones with one liners, and Stuart Francis with one liners. Then there's the madness of Jason Byrne and the improvisation, and there's storytelling of Tommy Tiernan or whatever. Like, there's enough for everybody,
it really.
And
is.
You'll find who you like. Yeah. I like there's a friend of mine tries to find the weirdest shit they possibly can find in Edinburgh, and I missed it this year. But there's a fella in Edinburgh this year, and his show was eating a kilo of cheese at 1 o'clock in the morning every night.
He ate
a kilo of cheese every morning at 1 o'clock, and there was queues round the block for this fella.
Kilos.
Portaloos, probably. But oh, yes.
Talking about kilos and talking about Edinburgh.
Yes.
Me and you were travelling home 1 year together.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And you were overweight.
Oh, okay, right. I thought the conversation was going somewhere else there for a minute.
No, I think it's probably going where you want it to go. So me and Willie knew each other well enough to abuse each other.
Okay.
And I brought everything to Edinburgh. I don't know why. Expecting the inevitable mental breakdown that you have in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And we're coming back and... I think it was 27 kilos or something you were allowed, and I had 30 kilos in the bag, and he said, you're going to have to take some of that stuff out. And I opened the bag, and Willow just picked up something and went, that's about a kilo. And he went, that's about a kilo. And I was like, Jesus, you can take the man out of Ballymun. And he just started taking kilos out by feel alone. And I might have mentioned that.
We're on the scales. Yes.
And it was absolutely bang on.
That's a dying art, that is.
Neil was like...
yeah.
Love
now,
that.
Then Willie rang a friend of his and he brought it away. It was weird. It was mainly just clothes. I've never seen a shirt cut with another shirt to make it last longer, though. It was really impressive.
Did you do Edinburgh this year, Neil? Of course you did.
I did 2 weeks of it this year.
Okay.
I had no interest. Last year I did a triathlon. Because I had the summer off.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed myself. And
a little bit too much, is it?
I was absolutely brilliant. And I don't know why I did a triathlon. As I said to a friend of mine, every bone in my body cracks. I don't know why I did a triathlon. Like,
what's your strongest part?
Filling in the form.
very strong
grip.
Yeah, where they say to you, you know, how long will you do this swim, and you're like 12 minutes. Yeah, I forgot about currents and water and everything else. I'm a decent swimmer. Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm a decent swimmer, yeah. Right. Yeah.
In the sea, like?
Yeah.
Because remember, what's his name, the Irish swimmer, Daniel
Whiffen.
Whiffen, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, he struggled in the big marathon swim, didn't he? Like, remember he said he won gold and bronze.
He'd never done the 10K before, though.
And he just said, ask me, Bert, I fancy you.
You know what, he missed a trick, though, because he's an identical twin brother, right?
And yeah.
He's doing a 10K swim. And the identical twin brother narrowly mixed out in the Olympics. Surely, he's swimming along, 5K in, he goes, oh, I've dropped my goggles. Dives to the bottom of the pool. The bottom of the Seine. And then, fresh as a Davy, identical twin brother comes up. Surely.
That's genius. When I used to do PE when I was a kid in school, I hated doing laps. I used to hide in the bushes. And then when they're coming in to do the last lap, I just joined them again.
I was terrible at sport in school. I was good at nothing. Like, I was really... Like, I remember bringing me dad up to watch me one week playing football with Shangan Celtic, and the manager didn't even pick me. He just played and I was just left.
That's heartbreaking, Will.
Come here. That's why I took drugs.
Well, I mean, but you're good at pill. Well, put your shit on a pill.
You've laid a lot at the door of the coach of Shangan Celtic there. If you're watching this,
the drugs responsible for
and the crime sprees that happened after it is because you didn't put him in for the last 10 minutes
as a
number 10.
And I remember his name, Davey Rafter was his name.
What?
That was his name, yeah. And I brought me dad up. And me dad never done nothing with me as a kid.
Right.
And it was a big thing just to get him. And he's like, probably dying with a hangover on the Saturday. He goes, right, I'll go up with you. And he went up and he knew Davey Rafter as well, like... And you just picked the team the old way, just
everyone
down, and I didn't even go on the fucking bench.
But you became good at sport after that. He brought me out playing squash one day, and I was flying fit at the time. I was running a lot, and we went playing squash. It was the only time I've ever played squash. And I said, I haven't played in years. Maybe played twice. And league squash player over there.
What's it? He has a hoop.
He ran. Yeah, I mean, you have a squash hoop.
He's purely
the lads. That's what the lads in the jury says. Yeah. Hey, squash, we're going to be squashing that.
He has a little.
Cause a racket with this fella.
He has a little dot on his arse to tell you how firm or not his arse is, like a squash ball. You ran me ragged for an hour. And then told me afterwards he played squash in the league.
Yeah, in a lower league. But in fairness.
Still, it's a league.
In fairness, when Neil is fit, Neil is fit, like.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So I probably ran him ragged, but he wasn't blown out.
No, I was. Yeah, I was 100% blown out my smaller squash hoop than him.
And you ever, when you haven't played squash in ages, like you said, you hadn't played in ages, the day after, Neil. Oh my God.
In absolute
no walking up or downstairs or anything like that. You're in a fucking
The worst
jocker.
I ever had is I did a spin class once that I was told lasted 25 minutes and it was 45 minutes. And I got off the bike like, do you know, a cross between a newborn foal and someone's been who has been kneecapped by the IRA.
Yeah,
I got out and tried to walk to the door. And I had a heart monitor on as well. You know that?
Smoke coming out.
Yeah, I went back and I forgot it. And oh my God, I remember saying the phrase, and it was mainly women in class. And I went, it's okay, I have a strap on.
Like, oh, says, you want to see the crowd? Want to see the crowd of women around me?
It's unbelievable. And I was so tired, I couldn't get the rest of the sentence out. Never been louder back in the gym.
Where did you do the triathlon?
I did the King of Greystones. It was really great. I have to say. Yeah, yeah. And I joined the triathlon group. Here's my triathlon tip, right?
Yeah.
I've mentored you in comedy. Let me give you a little tip. Now, I've only done one, right? So I'm not a triathlete. I've only done one. If you join a triathlon club, look at what's written in other people's caps in the swimming lesson so you know what lane to go in. So I turned up and one guy had like, you know, Paris Ironman. I went, well, I'm not getting in that lane.
Yeah.
And the next guy had something like Dublin Triathlon. I went, I'm not getting in that lane. And then I saw a woman and she had Peppa Pig. And I was like, that is the lane for me. It's a tiny little older woman who had like, she had Baileys in her water bottle. This woman could care less. You know, she had the goggles of a sunbed. You know, and she was brilliant. And she's like, so if any tips, she's like, take a caffeine gel. She goes, it'll take 5 minutes off your bike ride. You might shit yourself.
There you go. Yeah. I didn't know there's actually clubs that you could train with.
Yeah, triathlons. There's loads of them all around the country.
Yeah.
And I only did it because the question you originally asked was, did you do Edinburgh? And I only did it because if you don't do the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, if people aren't familiar with this because they might not know, it's a month long in Edinburgh in August. But you're like in May and June, you're beginning to think about this bloody thing, you know. Mm. So if you don't do it, you get your whole summer back. So you're out cycling and walking around. I did it this year for 2 weeks because I got a really great room and I had a really nice agent and he said, oh, I can get... You know, you'll have a good run. So he's been really good to me and he's got me all these things that I've always wanted to do. So I said, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah.
And is he our English agent?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So when you say he's got your things to do, we had a little brief chat before we went live.
Oh, yeah.
And you mentioned Countdown.
Yeah.
Is that...
I've always wanted to do Apollo. I've always wanted to do QI.
Oh, yeah.
And I've always wanted to do Countdown. Now, Countdown kind of came apart a different way. I've done, like, a Countdown... So you do a day of Countdown and you do 5 episodes in the day in Dictionary Corner.
Right.
And sitting beside Susie Dent. And like, I used to watch this as a kid.
Yeah, she's an institution.
Yeah.
Yeah, we reckon no one else has been longer on TV than her. Because she's been on for 30 odd years.
She was there in the 5 days
a week. Since 1992.
Jeez.
And the first, so you're sitting there, right? And you're sitting there and you just have to come up with the words that they can't get. And people are brilliant now because they're playing on apps and everything.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you're sitting there and if you don't get anything, sometimes you just go, jeez, I'm a Countdown. this is brilliant. Yeah. And you can't go, when he goes to you, what have you got? And you go, I don't know, I was just thinking it was on Countdown.
I was just over here pinching myself.
That's good enough for me.
So I didn't get a word. And she writes down a word, right, and it's etalon. And etalon is a physics term, etalons. And she wrote that down. It was like, I think 7 or 8-letter word or whatever. And she goes, and I was like, no one's going to believe this. I got that, right? But she didn't write it down for us. She just went, etalons. And etalon is the Irish for plane.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And I was like... what is she using as the fodder? And I was just looking at the letters, panicking, going, has this changed since I was a kid that you're using foreign languages to the English and our native language? But they're so nice to you and so sweet. And it's kind of really weird to be in that institution. So it celebrated its 42nd birthday yesterday.
Wow.
Sorry, not yesterday. 2 or 3 days ago, and I was on it. And they've never done, and I'll show you this, they've never done Halloween before. So we did Halloween.
What do you mean you've never done Halloween?
They've never dressed up.
Oh, like celebrated it.
As Halloween.
And they've done Christmas, haven't they? Like with jingle bells and...
That is my Hollywood. Now, you can't show it to the camera yet because it's embargoed, but we can describe what it is.
That is Neil Delamere.
That is...
Was that the Channel 4 makeup department?
That is Frankenstein's monster. And I couldn't... So we put the mask on and I couldn't open my mouth.
Brilliant.
And he goes, so he wanted to look like this kind of weird count of Countdown.
Oh, of course.
And they ended up just looking like Karma Chameleon, Boy George era. Like, got to pick a pocket or two, Fagin job. And I couldn't talk. And he goes, explain through the outfit. And I was like, I wanted to go a gladiator, but I wasn't allowed to go a gladiator. So it was good crack. I know Colin Murray pretty well from doing his radio show, so it kind of came about like that. This is the old school, OG Countdown.
The real Countdown.
So it's Colin Murray, obviously, and Rachel Riley, and Susie Dent, and then me in Dictionary Corner. They have somebody. So Carl Frampton was taken over after me.
Carl Frampton, the boxer?
Yeah. Frampton's great crack.
Is he?
He's really funny. Yeah, he's really funny.
Because you're the king of Northern Ireland.
I don't recognise the crown.
Never watched that on Netflix.
And that is why I'm here. But they're normal punters. They're not kind of...
It's no public.
Yeah, and they're unreal. The first time I ever did it, I'm sitting there going, okay, I hopefully get a few words here. Guy beside me, poker player, got 2 9-letter words straight out the gate.
Jesus.
Straight out the gate, yeah. They're unbelievable now.
Do you remember... I don't know if you ever watched IT Crowd, Neil.
Yeah.
Do you remember the episode where they were doing Countdown? And he had this underground club.
Yeah.
And Richard Owen was a superstar on it. Yeah. And he was part of the club who had won 10 shows in a row.
Yeah.
And they were playing Street Countdown. And they were like, what's the difference between Street Countdown? Well, it's Countdown, but it's out on the street. That's the only difference.
Yeah, they're extraordinary.
Yeah.
The last guy I was on was like this UK accountant guy, and he just smashed everybody. I was leaning into him going, would you do my taxes? There's no chance you could do. Like, they've learned it. Like, There's certain tricks for the numbers and stuff, you know, like they learned their 17 times tables and all sorts of mad stuff, you know. But I've always wanted to do that as well. I mean, like, you do those things. It years ago, you used to do something like, say, a McIntyre's Roadshow or something like that, and then, you know, that'd be you then. That's not the way it is anymore. No. You know, you do these things kind of for fun as much as anything else, because there's you know, nothing gets at the viewers it used to get.
No.
Because there's a kind of a fracturing of all those TV shows. Yeah. So if you do Apollo now, it will be a smaller audience because it's on BBC Two than it was maybe 10 years ago, because everything was bigger 10 years ago on kind of linear TV. But you still want to say, oh, I've always wanted to do it. I've always watched it.
What was it like? You know,
brilliant.
Was it amazing?
Yeah, it was brilliant.
It looks incredible. But you don't know, you know, is it made to look good because it's TV? But it is, the experience is genuinely good.
Yeah, I've heard sometimes it can be difficult, actually. Okay. Yeah.
It would terrify me.
Would it?
If I got the 100%.
Why would it terrify you?
It breaks that, because first and foremost, I'm not brilliant at maths. I'm fucking terrible.
I was talking about Live the Apollo.
Yeah. Oh, Live the Apollo. Yeah.
Oh, we both know about the countdown there. Yeah. That's why we were so surprised.
I think embrace that shit, man. What are you afraid of, will I?
No, I would. I'd love to.
If the numbers like separated into eighths, would you be all right? You'd be brilliant.
Do you know there used to be a shop in Moore Street called the Apollo?
Yes. Really?
Yeah. And I remember one year me and my sister got they were record players that were like stereos. So the record played on a sideways going around.
Oh, cool.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, like a ghetto blast.
I remember getting my first pair of roller skates, because I used to go roller skating in the Olympic across the road.
Yeah.
So there was two roller skate rings. There was the Olympic and there was the Top Hat and Dunleary.
Yeah.
They were the both roller skating rings, which was great.
Roller skate ring was his other name. Squash hoop.
Yeah.
And roller skate ring.
Oh, yes. Love it.
That was the... No, but I would. I'd love to do Live to Your Apollo.
It's great. It's just a big gig.
Who are we on with, Neil? And is that all in one night as well?
It's weird because it's there's two... There was actually three shows that day, but from what we're looking at, it says one audience for two shows.
Right.
And I was at the end of the second show. So sometimes that can be a bit tricky, you know.
Close.
And I was kind of given special dispensation from the bishop. And they said, if you need to mess around with the audience, because, you know, say, they can be a little bit flat.
Yeah.
And then you can banter them up and then you can do your set if you wanted to. But I didn't have to do it. Just brilliant.
Brilliant.
I was on with Celia Abbey, who's a brilliant French Algerian comedian, and Lou Sanders,
who I love, who's just
mad, like just really great vibe and energy.
And who was hosting?
She was hosting.
Oh, was
Lou
she?
Was
and
hosting.
Is
yeah.
it a different host for the three shows?
A different host for the two shows. Yeah. So the earlier host was, I can't remember who the earlier host was. Yeah. Jake Lambert, I think, was on the first show, and Rachel Fair.
And the place is packed. It's full.
Rammed.
It always like 3,000 people or whatever. The atmosphere sounds electric.
Yeah. I did it once before. I did it with Kevin Bridges before. And it was weird. I was doing a few gigs with Kevin. This was a good few years ago. I was opening up for Kevin, right? Just because we were playing big theatres. And a guy... So you go out. And obviously, you go on first. It's you know, you have to do a bit of work.
Yep.
You're not there to see you, right? And didn't somebody split their kneecap? They dislocated their kneecap at the gig in the Apollo. So it meant that we started an hour late. So Johnny Big Balls here, support, has a great gig.
Oh my God.
because they've had an extra drink and you know what I mean? So you're going on when somebody else is.
But then before the show started, he split the kneecap.
So I was like, are you okay? Yeah, are you okay? We'll get an ambulance, but if you could drag us out for another 20 minutes, I'll have a cracker of a gig.
I remember being with you one time in Edinburgh. We were at the Bin for a coffee and something to eat somewhere.
Yeah.
And was the first time I met Kevin Bridges.
Oh, yeah.
And you introduced me to
Kevin.
Oh,
yeah. Lovely dude.
And when he walked off, you said to me, he is going to be huge.
Yeah.
You said to me, you need to get down and you need to watch this guy's show.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did the following day. Yeah. I went down and
it's great.
You were right.
Sometimes you just know.
Oh, yeah. Jesus, he was unbelievable. Yeah. He was still wearing the black suit.
Yeah.
At the time, he had the black suit on him. But I remember you saying it to me. You went, this guy is going to be a superstar.
Sometimes you see someone who is really talented, but you also see the market for them. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So you go, everybody, he's so likeable, and everybody who's Scottish is going to identify with that. And everybody who's Irish is going to identify that with it in a different way. But you can just see the two.
And then also, and even classes, yeah, like working class, yeah, can identify,
yeah,
with that. Like,
yeah, you know, absolutely.
His upbringing and all that. And I listened to his book, his audio book, and it's amazing. And when, how he started and when he was in school, and he was always a messer in school, and then getting his first gigs in the stand and all that. And
16 or something. And then,
just amazing.
Yeah, he's just there. And come here.
We're not here to talk with Kevin Bridges, though.
No, he's just, he's such a nice fella as well. And he hasn't, he hasn't really changed that much. He's just a good
I used to play Pez online with him. Because we were the only two comedians that Pez, Pro Pez Evolution
Pegs.
Soccer.
Pegs.
Everyone used to play FIFA, but me and Kevin used to play Pez, PES, and we play online together.
That's, are you into online games now?
That sounded like a guard was asking me.
Are you into online
because
games?
Because it seems you've been communicating with people that you shouldn't be communicating with. That's what that sounded like. No, I'm not at all.
Me either. No. I have no interest in air.
It's funny though, because like I know Dara O'Brien plays a little bit when he goes home, and it really winds him down, shall we say. And I was talking to a woman called Emer Noon once, when I was on the radio on Today FM. I used to do a Sunday show for 3 or 4 years.
That's right, yeah.
I had to give it up just because the... It was just kind of gigging at night, you know, touring at night, and if you'd be coming back from Letterkenny, and because it was a current affair show as well, because I took over for somebody, like you didn't just play music, you had to read the papers at 8 o'clock in the morning, and you were getting home at 3 o'clock. Really good fun though, really, really enjoyable. And I had a woman on called Emer Noon, and she was a composer, and she was making the point that years ago people used to look down on people who wrote music not for film or concert, but for computer games. She went, my music has been heard more often than any other, if it was in any film.
Right.
So now it's getting the recognition of computer game. Computer game, gaming now is worth more than, I think, theatre and movies combined.
And it's funny you should mention that, Neil, because the new FIFA game is coming out soon, which is like the biggest game in the world. And what they've done in advance of it is they've released the playlist. The Spotify playlist,
really,
which is part of the game. So the music element is so big now.
Should we mention it? You know, have you heard about this game? There's a promotion for it in Dublin, and apparently you can, you know, you can pick any team. You can pick Shangana Celtic, and you can play. You can actually play
the full 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And save a penalty.
Yeah. And apparently you can get your own coach, D-Rafter, sent off.
or get hold of charges.
You from the pool.
Your dad, yeah, it's brilliant.
What is that like?
It's brilliant. It's very specific. AI has allowed us to do this now.
It's a crossover with The Sims.
And I actually have a couple of photographs at home when I did later on in life play football for a while. And I went on, obviously, down in Kilkenny, the game of ball that's been down there, and the rivalry and the...
And he's pretty handy now.
Yes, he was. Back in the day, back in the day.
He is. He used to be a great footballer, Amit Jalili.
Amit Jalili,
ball player.
Lee Mack has absolutely skinned me. Milton Jones is a good footballer.
John Bishop was semi-pro.
He was very good, He was handy. Yeah.
He was like,
Tommy wasn't bad.
Yeah, Tommy was decent.
Tommy scored a couple of crackers over the years.
Milton Jones shipped the keeper once, and I was like, okay, that's pretty good now.
He played 1 year. What's his name as well? The blondie comic from England.
Russell
Robert.
He was very handy.
He's fit. Like he's got the lungs, and he can run around.
There's a point at which, though, you know, when they come out and they go, the most important thing today, guys, is this insurance waiver. You just realised that maybe... Because comics used to get carted off the hospital list.
Got a bad one, didn't he?
Yeah, and like kneecaps going missing, and you know.
I knew one of the last games I played down there, I went on, I started the match, and the referee blew the whistle, the match tipped off, and I attempted to sprint, and my calf muscle just went ping, and off I went. And that is a memory I have of Kilkenny, of always the Sunday evening, doing gigs, limping and struggling to get onto the stage because I think a lot of the comedians that were going on that night were in the same way. Look at Barry Murphy.
I'm not going to name the comedian, but we had a race for the ball, and I could hear his hip clicking. Like, you know the breaker switch in the shower that goes, kunk. That's what it sounded like. I wasn't even sure if it was his hip or the beginning bit of, you know, Netflix. You know, kunk. That's what it was. And you're like, we need to stop doing this now.
We need to scale it down. I think it's now a five-a-side, isn't it? Yeah. On a bouncy castle or something.
Just them big round balls, you know, you get pushed onto it.
Zorb ball. That's all it is now.
And Des and Aiden used to play as well.
Yeah, very competitive.
Between the
very
two of them.
Yeah. And Cas Spain used to play for the rest of the world because his name was Spain.
Yeah.
That was how ridiculous it was. And the first couple of years, Des had us on the rest of the world team because I own you guys.
Maxwell would come on with a duck under his arm or a set of clogs or something that he got out of a shop.
Mexican Mexican.
El Hu.
El Hu.
Is what he was called.
Maxwell.
But he used to annoy me because he did that because he wasn't very good at football.
Great deflection.
Yeah. I remember nutmegging Ross Noble. He was wearing sandals at the time. And I was just like, we were starting with it. Like Kilkenny was one of those other things, you know, it's a formative experience, isn't it? You're like, I'm a comedian now if you do Kilkenny. I'm sure you two fellas felt that.
Honestly, the first year we got it, we thought it was live, the Apollo QI countdown.
Do you remember, Neil, as well, also there was a time, maybe, I think it was when we were starting as well, you were already established, but like down at the Cat Laughs, outside the venue, there'd be big posters outside the venue of the face of the comedians who were playing that night. And we were it's fucking us, we're on the bleeding. Yeah. What if they're making it?
Yeah. Normally we'd only see you in a post office.
Yeah. Or on crime line. No, but I remember Eric ringing me that day specifically. I was woken up in Irish Cement up in Duleek, and Eric calls me up. He goes, has Eddie Brannan rang you? And I said, what? He goes, I'm doing Kilkenny, he says. I was like, what?
Yeah.
He goes, yeah. He goes, look, I'd say you might get the call. And I was in the bleeding job all day and I couldn't think of anything else.
Yeah.
Kilkenny. And I was going home at about 4:30. I was in the car heading across to Laytown and I sees the phone ringing and it's Eddie Bannon.
Are you acting all nonchalant with
you? And it's just you know, like I was going.
Yeah.
And then he answered it. He goes, sorry, you won't be doing it. No.
Do you have Eric's number?
Yeah. We've a bit of news, Will.
We have got a bit of news, Eric. Do you want to start off the news?
Well, it's been an exciting time for us doing this podcast, but it's even more exciting that we're going to do our very first live show.
And where are we doing the live show, Eric?
Oh, where else would we be doing it? But the Laughter Lounge.
And when is it?
November 6th. Wednesday night.
Well, midweek. No better time than midweek to have a laugh.
Absolutely.
Smash the week up completely.
Yeah, over the hump day.
And we've got a very special guest.
Yeah, but we can't announce it yet.
No, we can't.
But it's going to be a great show. It's going to be full of stand-up.
It is. It's going to be full of laughter.
Full of interviews. Full of banter.
There will be some music.
There will be. There'll be a bit for everybody in the audience. And the tickets are available on laughterlounge.com. But if you use the code
YMBJ.
What's that, J?
YMBJ. You will get an early board reduction on your ticket and they'll get you €5 off.
Get in there, Musby.
Get your hands on me.
What are you talking about?
Who said anything about me?
You must be joking, liar.
You will, all right. So please come to the show.
November 6th, Laughter Lounge. We'd love to see you there. It's going to be a great night.
Brilliant night.
So I did dancing with Nico Roach, lovely fella. Stephen Roach's son, and Nico Roach would have won a couple of stages of the Vuelta in Spain. Proper animal, you know. And I think he was considering, or maybe he did do some of that sort of stuff, the gravel bike racing.
I would imagine
it's hardcore.
You'd have to wear goggles, wouldn't you? Because the pebbles and the gravel would be flying at you, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Main thing you do is what your dad did, and you just put your thumb on the windscreen, you know, when you were driving over loose chippings. So that just protects you. That protects you. 60 kilometres an hour on a gravel road. You just do that.
But it's a big thing. They've done a big, huge race out at the back of where the Irish rugby team train out in Blanchardstown, and you know where the aquatic centre is? There was a big event in there last year. Like, there was hundreds.
And what are you aiming to do? Are you going to do something in particular?
Come here. I'm just aiming for the minute just to get out and get fit.
Yeah.
And then my goal is before Christmas, I'm going to do 100 kilometres. I'm going to go on the train with Norman. And
that's
I'm
easy. Isn't that easy enough?
Yeah. No, no,
100 kilometres on the train.
And I'm going
that's exactly what I told you.
Yeah. But I need to learn how to drive. Okay. No, I'm going to get on the train and we're going to go out on the Royal Canal 100 kilometres out.
Okay.
And we're going to cycle back then.
Oh, right. The whole length of the canal.
Right.
It's not the whole length because it's longer than 100. Will
you, on the bike path beside us, or?
Yeah, on the path beside the canal. So then, and then after that, I'll aim for 100 miles.
Okay.
So that's the thing. And then I'll start doing events again. I'd say more than likely next year, I'll go back and do the Gael Force West.
Yeah, maybe you're into that all the time. Mm,
that's great. It's a great event.
Yeah.
You should do it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
No, I've just done one. And I had great plans to do more, but life gets in the way.
No, but if you like that, you'd love this.
Yeah.
And it just the scenery And my favourite time to do it was the first time, because you don't know what's ahead of you.
What I found weird was, it's such a well-organised event in Kristons that people are on the sides and they're cheering, right? And Irish people shouting encouraging things is just really odd.
Yeah, yeah.
So
there's
all these people going, "You got this, you got this." And you're like, the only time Irish people should shout that is at a sexual health clinic. You got this.
It's a chlamydia.
I think you gave it to me. I think that's what you mean. But the fit, you know from doing Gale Force West, the fit people are so fit.
Yeah.
Like, I was, you finish this, so it's, people don't know what swim bike run, and like, it's the one I did was harmless distances, you know? And you get out, and there's nothing more dispiriting when you've got two parts of the event to go, seeing a fella come in the opposite direction in a medal, putting his bike back into his car.
Ah, Jesus.
Do you know what I mean? And he's just winding up, and he's polishing a trophy. Yeah.
He's drinking his coffee.
The elite in the Gale Force West go out at 5:30 in the morning.
Really?
So they are out, and I was.
You think they'll be going out later?
I was talking to one of the stewards, and he says you want to. He says it's actually ridiculous to watch them. Like, he says,
does anyone actually know that they're doing it? I mean, who's getting up at that hour?
Yeah, man, Jerry Duffy.
Like the guy who got in the Lewis. You remember got in the Lewis during the Dublin Marathon?
That was a guard, wasn't it?
That's a copper. That's what you
allegedly,
want.
Allegedly.
Yeah, we've caught you doing Gale Force West. It's the first time we've seen a Lewis in Connacht.
Yeah, yeah.
That was you've definitely
that was the giveaway.
There's a hot-wired Lewis on fire
like for us
halfway up a mountain somewhere.
Yeah, but there's fitness and there's fitness.
But have you lost a shed load of weight in the last 2 years and gone and started training with a PT and all that?
No, it's with Philly McMahon.
BDU7.
Well, as old PT.
So that's where I went the first... Right. So it used to be called BK Fitness, which was in Ballymun Kickhams.
Right.
Which is just the rawest GAA club, I think, in Dublin. They've nothing.
Well,
it's just
it used to be, now it's flush.
Is there a bar in it now?
I don't know.
No, there's none of that.
It's flush though.
Philly McMahon does the commentary on BBC Northern Ireland and all their GAA covers. So I was interviewing him last year at the Ulster All-Stars Awards.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. So there was an All-Star came up, and the guy who'd won the Player of the Year, obviously Philly was standing there and had paid tribute to him. And your man says to him, he says, "You didn't say that when you were covering the TV coverage." He was messing with them. And I was standing behind this guy. I was like, "Yeah, fuck you, Will. Yeah, fuck you, Philly. Fuck yeah. Oh, yeah. And your book is terrible." And I was like, standing behind this guy, abused him. Philly's great crack.
Oh, he is, yeah.
And he's well able to just mess around. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Here's an interesting... Because I had to interview him before, because he's obviously a household name. And one of the questions was... He has never won a club All Ireland with Ballymun Kickhams.
Yeah.
And however many he's won with Dublin. And I said, would you switch? And he went, yeah.
Wow.
So he would give Dublin All Ireland away for a club All Ireland.
I think because a lot of players are like that.
Absolutely.
Aren't they?
It's your people. It's your parochial. Real
yeah,
people.
It's tribal. It's,
where
it's,
you it's, train with all day, every day.
Lads you've grown up
yeah.
with now.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
a community, yeah.
You talk about people... You know, having the laugh just there, threatening each other. And
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember the night we were in Skerry's yacht club, me and you?
Was it the yacht club? Yeah, that was
that
very
night?
Funny.
So will I tell you? Go on, you tell the story, what happened.
Well, okay. Do you want me to tell you the real story? The real, I'm allowed to tell it properly.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're sitting there. I think I was in some venue.
Aidan Bishop was on.
Yeah, so something. Aidan was on, and there was a Willie was here, sitting beside me here.
Yeah,
there's a big dude here, and his girlfriend beside him, and she was talking really loudly. And I said, "Would you mind keeping it down?" And she was kind of surprised by this. And I said, and then she kept going. And I said, "Seriously, like we had to go on in a second, right? You know." And she was disturbing the people around her. And when I said it to her the second time, it was very polite because I had to go on and I didn't want her talking when I was on. I didn't want her talking when he was on.
Bit of respect.
Bit of respect. And your man says to me, "Have you got a problem?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I just don't think she'd be talking during the show, you know. Other people have paid in and she was getting a bit, you know." And then he was talking to her. And then he goes, "We can take this outside if you want." And I'm like, this is weird escalation. And he left. he said one thing once, and then the second time he goes, we'll take this outside. And I'm kind of shocked. And before I could answer, he leans over from here. He goes, oh, we'll take it outside if you want. Like this, right? Like this. And I went, oh, I'm in the hands of an expert here. Gonna lean back away from this.
I know my position here.
Yeah, I know my position here, and it's behind Willie. It's where I can see. It's where I can see the squash hoop. That is where I feel most comfortable, right? So your man goes, oh, and Willie goes, he's my brother. In his accent, which is different than my accent. And your man looks at him
confused.
As if to say, well, the logic of this doesn't play out. And I'm looking at him going, yeah, but you're not going to say that, are you? And he's like, no, he didn't say that. And man goes, oh, anyway, yeah, I'll get her to stop talking, and I'll stop talking as well. And so your man gets up, and I said to Willie, well, what would you have done? Because it's been so long since I've been in a fight, like I was a kid. Willie, like, do you know the way some lads brag, and then some lads just tell you the fight plan?
Yeah, or the block was John.
No, that's all the nonsense.
Yeah.
And that's
bravado.
All. Bravado. And he just goes, oh, I just would have gone after you. And I went, yeah. And he goes, and I just would have pushed him down the stairs. There was no question he would have done it.
Oh, yeah.
No
yeah.
question.
Kicked him in the back.
Down
in
the golf right
yeah,
down the stairs.
After you. But dunk-a-dunk-a-dunk-a-dunk-a-dunk-a-dunk. And but he didn't. What was terrifying was there was no bravado about it. There was no sort of, and then I would have done it. And then a roundhouse would have been, just let gravity do it.
He was thinking pure logic.
Oh, yeah. Pure yeah. Logic. Oh, your man was all stretching out like this. Well, I hadn't even taken off his coat in his head.
fair play, man. Yeah.
It was very funny. And they went,
scumbag.
And they went. They were very quiet as well.
Yeah, I'd say they were.
Did yeah. After yeah. That, yeah.
And I've had it. I've had it since another gig. And I was the. It was in England, and I was Willa in
were you
that scenario.
We're so fine where the stairs were.
No. It was the same guy, and I just kind of it was almost exact same. And I kind of just did. All right, come on, so. And the guy went. But I had, the difference was I hadn't thought beyond.
Okay,
so
right.
We would have ended up
so
in
you
a fight.
Call his bluff.
Yeah, I call his bluff. But if he had called my bluff, it would have been like, you know that, you know where is when Hugh Grant fights in Bridget Jones' Diary, the two lads are punching Colin Firth. That's what it would have been like if the two of us had fought. But yeah, I'd only thought it's that far. I'd learned that from you. You have mentored me as well.
Unbeknownst to myself.
It's a circle of life. It's a circle of life. Neil, come here. You're on. Your new tour is called Achilles Neil.
Yes,
I love that.
I love that.
It's always either Neil or Delamere.
Yeah,
a Creme Delamere.
Yeah, Fresh Prince of Delamere was my favorite.
That's really good.
Yeah.
So it starts in November.
Starts in November in the Spiegel Tent in Wexford. That's already sold out. There's a lot of them are sold out. I'm kind of hammering the socials. I kind of finally got my arse in gear. But it'll play Vicar Street. It'll play the Ice Hockey Arena in Belfast.
The SSE?
Yeah.
That's
kind of mad. That is really fun.
I want to talk about Northern Ireland in a minute.
Yeah, but you're huge in Northern Ireland.
That's The blame game, you've been doing that for years.
A big thing, isn't it?
And that's helped.
Absolutely. That's like 19 years or something like that.
Jesus Christ. You're a staple of Northern Irish television.
Yeah, that's funny you say that. One of the first times I ever did that show, I was taken aside by the producer. It wasn't Jackie, actually. It was somebody else on it. And I said, we need to talk about language. And I said, but I know it's on television. I'm not going to F and C and all the rest that we would normally. And no. People from the Republic sent to say, Jesus. Oh, Mother of God. Jesus, that's mad. Or God. Because somebody will write in about that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That hyper religious.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, a tiny section.
Yeah,
of people,
yeah.
But they will. Yeah, yeah.
But enough.
It's not as my favorite writing in story is a guy, a friend of mine used to work on Reeling in the Years on RTE. Right. Don't know Reeling in the Years.
It's an amazing show.
Get the footage. Yeah. This is what happened in 1982. I was going to pick 83, but Dublin won the All Ireland. 1982.
Awfully. Because we were 12 men.
Awfully won the All Ireland. Dirty dozen Kieran Duff. Anyway, my mother was a hardcore Dub fan. Hardcore. From Fairview.
Is your mother from Fairview?
Yeah, she was. She's passed away now, but she was hardcore Dub.
Wow.
Yeah. Grew up in East Wall and in the 30s and 40s.
That's mad.
Yeah.
Never knew that.
Yeah. The
so
only
was she
reason
the bombing that the time only when it got bombed?
She that was never proven. That was you met my mother, Heidi. You know, she, you remember your mother saw her outside and she had ping pong paddles and she was leading in the German bombers. That was entirely accidental. Brilliant. Yeah, turns all right. It's a Fairview Park. It's released on the North End. She was hardcore dub, and loved Heffo's Army and loved long Brian before Munn's that. And her dad was in Croker on Bloody Sunday.
Jesus.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, I couldn't say that on the Blame Game.
No, you couldn't.
No.
No, you couldn't. How do we get onto that?
So we were talking about the Reeling in the Years.
This is the story, right? A friend of mine used to work Reeling in the Years. So they'd show footage of 1983 or whatever, and they'd show the songs and all the rest. So he got a letter, actually, not an email. Dear RTE, I love your show Reeling in the Years. It's historical in nature. My favourite era of Irish history is 1900 to 1910. And they had to write back and go, well, we have no footage from 1900 to 1910, and it's a footage-based show, but thank you very much for your letter. And then they got a letter the next week. Thank you very much for your letter. My second favourite decade is 1880 to 1890.
Well, that we do have.
Oh, we'll check the archive for that.
And here's the number one song that year.
Yeah. We're doing crochet.
Yeah. We are currently making a tapestry. It may take some time. But people who write into TV shows sometimes are interesting characters. So the Blame Game is massive.
And it's still going, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got a few more episodes now this season. Like, eventually it'll run its course, like all these things. Like, we did the panel for a few years, and we did Republic of Telly. I did one year of that, and then I had to leave because panel was running at the time, and so was Blame Game.
Yeah,
I remember being in the car park in RT going, I can't do all this. What am I going to do?
It's too much.
And then the panel was canned about a year later, and Republic of Telly went on for like 3 or 4 years. So.
I think the panel was one of the best shows that was ever on RT.
It's good. What's very interesting about that time, I have a little pet theory about that time, and that is the country was awash with confidence, full stop. Celtic Tiger, but look at what was made. So panel was made. The show that Maeve Higgins and PJ and Nicky Cameron was made, mm-hmm. Dez's work experience was made, and his Irish show a few years later,
the show he did.
So all Carol Spain Wants a Woman, and all these shows were made at the same time, while Ireland had a good few quid and was very confident in itself and its output, both in music and both in comedy, and people watched them. And then we kind of had the bus a little bit, and we went, well, we can't spend all the money on those things. But also, what we make isn't as good as other people.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of that coincided. I think there was a confidence in the country generally. And then, like, look how many people are still touring off the back of shows that originally started 2005, 2004, 2006,
2007.
Oh,
yeah. I mean,
do you know what I mean?
Usually so. I mean,
compared to the years after.
Yeah. And even there was another panel show we did for one season, Next Week's News. Remember that?
Next Week's News,
lasted one season.
Yeah.
Just as the figures were climbing.
I call it a BMW because it's only had one series.
Hey!
Thank you very much.
My missus is in one series at the moment. It's giving her nothing but trouble.
Really?
Seriously, yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, no, it is.
She's pretending. More she wants three series. That's what that is.
More lights than a bleeding nightclub in Mullingar in the '80s on the dash. I swear to God.
That's a very long sentence.
No.
I'd love to see the two of you in the ploughing. Just in your natural habitat, the two of you in amongst 80,000 cultures.
Oh, we should go down next year and do the podcast.
I think you should.
Yeah. I've never been to the ploughing.
I
think electric picnic for cultures.
I think people. Electric picnic for cultures is electric picnic, really. It's in Leash, for God's sake.
I read something in the paper today. There was a judge in Port Leash who said he get more trouble from the ploughing championships than they ever get from electric picnic.
Wow.
In terms of bar brawls.
Yeah, that's because I'd say people just drink pints at the ploughing championships. Yeah, whereas people might be much more relaxed a Sunday. Yeah,
how big is your heifer, PJ?
I'd say it's a hard
one. Hang on, I phone her.
I think that would be amazing to see you. I think you'd just do it amazing. It'd be like Louis Theroux talking to the Westboro Baptist Church or something like this.
Sorry, pal, what was that?
And I believe you look after a milk's nest. You mean a cow? Yes, I believe. I think the two of you would just
I think we should do it. There we'll get the people onto it and we'll do it.
Be like a cross between Adam and Paul and Ear to the Ground. It'd be amazing.
Be brilliant. But the weather they had for it this year as well is phenomenal.
Isn't it?
Yeah. You know, it's the biggest wellies and muck and rain.
It's the biggest outdoor event in Europe.
Have you ever been there?
I actually haven't been.
Is it?
Yeah. I wanted to write a play about it. I think it's such an interesting... So there's like 250,000 people go to that, right? To the extent of go to a field for 3 days. If they all stayed in the field, that would be the second biggest city in Ireland.
Wow. think about that. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I went down last year, which I was doing, what you call them, Vox Pops.
Vox Pop, yeah.
With people. And I don't know what the issues of the day were, but people were great. Great.
I do a Vox Pop. I watched a Vox Pop from the French presidential election the last time, right? And everybody, first of all, they were all amazing looking.
Of course they were. French.
Right. Random French people are better looking than our best looking Irish people. Right? They were all amazing and they were all knowledgeable. Every one of them was like, it is a clear distinction between the very far right Marine Le Pen and the more centrist incumbent Emmanuel Macron. And you go, do you know when you ever see RTE do a Vox Pop before an Irish election? It is always... It's always a fella coming out of a book. He's carrying meat,
and he looks like he's been caught doing something.
Yeah, it's just a fella. Yeah. I'll tell you, I'll vote for. There's a pothole in my street.
Hold
now.
That meat.
Yeah, not that meat. That's the wrong meat. Although if you're going to hold it, you might as well pull it. These lads.
You're 100% right.
Yeah. Whoever fixes, there's only one pothole in the village and there's only one streetlight in the village. Dublin is all the streetlights. There's one streetlight in our village. We all go to look at it every so often. And sometimes you see a full streetlight and sometimes you see half a streetlight. It could be the moon. It could be the moon. I don't know where people come out of.
Yeah.
That's one of the most entertaining things you could ever see.
We do Vox Pops around the city of Dublin, and you get what you do get as well. You get the L ones of Dublin who are the venture forward because they want to say something. Then when you see the camera, they panic. Is this going on the telly?
Yeah.
And we're going, well, no, not really. Going across our socials on the internet. On the what? Yeah. On the internet? Ah, no, me bollocks. No. I just wanted to say something about the immigrants.
People to do Vox Pops. Sounds like a breakfast cereal.
Vox Pops.
I love a bowl of Vox Pops.
Love it.
I want a bowl of
We're
Vox
here
Pops.
With Coco, the monkey.
and his cousin.
He has something to say. When I came to this country first, this milk wasn't chocolatey.
Put that in the pipe and smoke it.
Neil, when are you playing Vicar Street?
I'm playing it in February, I think, and then I'm going to play it again in May and maybe another couple of times. But yeah, February. Have a look out for that.
And if anybody is looking for tickets for your show or wanting to come and see you, where can they find it?
neildelamere.com/gigs. I'm doing the Leicester Square Theatre as well. And I'm doing...
Lovely.
SSE. And I'm doing the Millennium Forum. I'm doing Everyman. Every county.
Everywhere.
For hockey arena. That's
everywhere
amazing,
from every man. Amazing. From every man.
Yeah. Yes.
Everyman's a smashing theatre.
Oh, great.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Great.
Spot.
Beautiful. Can I tell you, I have to show you, because you were showing me your tattoos the other day. I'll show you this, right? There was and you can show this picture.
Okay.
The guy the other night, and I said, what are you doing? He goes, I'm trained to be a paramedic as a geek, right? And I said, have you ever pulled anything out of anybody's bottom? Because I was being a child, right? And he went, oh. And I was a guy beside him, and I said, is that your friend, mate, brother, whatever? And he goes, no, we're partners. And he goes, I've pulled stuff out of him.
No way.
Right. And your
How
man.
How do you strike gold like that?
Absolute gold. He's brilliant crack. And his friend is
a white crack.
his mate is his boyfriend. I think actually they were engaged. Brilliant fun as well, right? A few minutes later, I mentioned the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He goes, well, I have a tattoo of them. And I went, no, you don't. And he has a full sleeve of all four turtles on his arm. He showed it to me. There's silence at the gig, and I went, Jesus, when you're taking anything of anybody's orifice at work, it looks like they're all got back into the sewers.
brilliant.
And you cannot replicate that. It'll never happen again. In
that's a unique
gig.
Moment in time.
And he showed me, he says, do you want to take a picture? And I said, yeah, I'll put it up online if we can figure out how to tell the story and stuff. And I love that sort of stuff, you know.
That's brilliant. Like, I mean, how could you tell that on stage, though, Neil? You have to have a screen behind you. We're photographing all this.
Yeah, you probably can.
No, he's too good for that.
Yeah.
He's too good for that. He's got too much material. He doesn't need it.
No,
we'd be like,
not.
We'd make a whole show around that. That'd be our centerpiece.
I've walked with you over the years, like on different occasions, and I've just seen you pulling stuff out of the audience that you'd go, that's actually material that you could use. Do you know what I mean?
Like, there's this a new phenomenon in comedy, really, that we've spoken about.
Crowd work. Yeah.
Well, that's something you've been doing from day dot, I would say.
And
in my opinion, would be one of the best at it.
Thank
you very much.
What, like, but it's people, I think there's a, like, so I've got kids, right, 21, my twins are 21, they think, apart from seeing me, they think comedy is all crowd work now.
Yeah, which is a danger, I suppose, in some ways. And I think there's a kind of a backlash against, I do put crowd work stuff up, sometimes you just get stuff that's amazing and it's great. I had a woman who was amazing. She was a woman in Bray, and I said, what's your name? And I asked for her permission because I identified her. She goes, Twist. I said, your first name is Twist? And she went, yeah. And I said, what part of America are you from? And she goes, how do you know I'm American? And I was like, you're fucking called Twist. You'd be run out of Bray if you were called Twist.
Yeah.
And we had the crack with her, right? And eventually she goes, I said, do you want to know why I'm called Twist? And I said, yeah. And she goes, my mother was a famous biochemist. And it's after the shape of DNA. And I went, God, we should have done this gig in the Helix.
Jesus.
Because the double helix is the actual shape of DNA, right?
Fucking hell.
Great crack, great laugh. You're never going to get that again. And I said to her, because I've named her, I said, do you mind if I put this up? She goes, no, absolutely, you put it up. So I think crowd work can be brilliant. I think the danger is that sometimes people think that this, that's all it is. You know, I think Matt Rife is a crowd work, solid crowd, just look, sorry, not solid, only crowd work show on Netflix. So, but you can see why people do it as well, because you're capturing magic in the night. But like, we should put out a warning. Most people do a few minutes of crowd work at the start and then go into a show. I don't know if I'd want to watch a show that's all messing with the audience. I want to see some prepped bits.
There's some people who are really good at crowd work and some people who love doing crowd work and there's other comedians that just go, no, I'm sticking to the script and I don't want to talk to anyone.
Absolutely, yeah.
That actually terrifies them. But you have got a way, and like Jason Bourne has got a way of talking to people that people want to interact with you.
They
want to talk to you. And there is some comics out there, without naming anybody, that kind of belittle people in a sense. You know, you feel like it's like,
slaughtered them, like.
Yeah, and I'm going, this man is at the paying X amount of money in for a ticket and he's getting fucking slaughtered.
Like. Yeah, like you can't have a go at someone's clothes or their appearance or anything. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? You can, I suppose, but I wouldn't particularly like to do that. I would draw the distinction between picking on someone and talking to somebody.
Yes.
So if you're in the front row and I say, what's your name? And you go, Willa. And I say, what do you do? And you go, I'm a computer programmer. Yeah. You know, and your body language opens up and you... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's an entirely different thing than...
And you know, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you get it wrong.
Yeah.
But you don't ever intend to.
If you haven't seen Neil Delamere, I encourage you to go and see Neil Delamere. He is one of the very best comedians that this country has to offer, and he's always at the top of his game. Go visit neildelamere.com to see if he's playing somewhere near you.
Thanks very much for coming in. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks,
really
appreciate it.